I'm Peter Solomon. It's the morning show on Lister Driven Jazz 88. Joining me today is saxophonist Adam Larson, who's now based in Kansas City. He's going to be playing at Jazz Central Studios tomorrow, that's Friday the 17th, as well as Saturday the 18th, in a trio with drummer Abinet Berhanu and a couple of bassists who will alternate turns, Ted Olson and Chris Bates. So welcome, Adam. And I want to begin our conversation by asking you about where you're from and how you became exposed to playing jazz.
Sure. So good morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm originally from Illinois. I grew up in Normal, Illinois. When I graduated high school, I moved to New York City. I attended the Manhattan School of Music for 6 years to complete my undergrad and graduate degrees. And then I stuck around for almost another 6 years after that, just kind of living, playing, performing, so on and so forth. My exposure to jazz happened through my parents at a young age. My dad's a drummer. My mom's a trumpet player. My mom actually last week had her final band concert with 38-year career in public education. She's middle school band director. So I grew up in a musical household. I played with my dad every weekend from the time I could play until I left for college. So my exposure to jazz is very much through his influences and his, you know, aesthetic, which is more fusion, you know. And so it was cool to grow up on Tom Scott and the L.A. Express and Spyro Gyra and things, honestly, that hit me as an 11, 12, 13-year-old kid maybe a lot easier than it would be to hear Charlie Parker for the first time at 11, you know. So it's a little bit about me, and now I currently live in the Kansas City area.
Oh, I wanted to ask you a little bit about specifically about your influences. And I noted that one influence you mentioned on your website was Gerald Albright. Can you talk about kind of where you where that fits into the picture and then when you kind of got started like listening to more contemporary jazz players?
Sure. Yeah, I remember going to Walmart as a kid with some lawn mowing money, and I bought the best of Charlie Parker and the best of Gerald Albright on recommendation from my teacher, Larry Harms, who, you know, listeners may be aware of saxophonist Greg Ward and Doug Stone, two really great saxophone players. He taught all three of us within like a 20-year span. I'm a little bit younger than Greg and Doug, but suffice it to say, he was instrumental, you know, pun intended, in me becoming a musician that I have. And he said, you know, go out and get these two records. And I said, I remember getting these two records, and I wasn't able to make sense of Charlie Parker because when I was 11 or 12, I was listening to Backstreet Boys, you know. So I turned to Gerald Albright, and it was, you know, the groove and the sound recording quality was much similar to what I, you know, had been coming up listening to in pop, you know, and bubblegum music. So I remember going to a travel basketball game with my dad, and I heard Gerald Albright go, ba-do-ba-do-be-ba-do-ba-do-da, and I said, wait a minute. That sounds really familiar. Sounds like that Charlie Parker guy, you know? And so there was a kind of light bulb moment. For me, you know, the tenets of Wiley and Gerald Albright still haven't changed, you know, incredible sound, great feel, you know, super musical, the production is super high value, you know, so those are tenets of the things I try to replicate in my music as well. I wouldn't say that I write music specifically like Gerald might, but there's a lot of things I took from those initial, you know, recordings that inspired me to dig deep and figure out what the corollary was between him and all the people we're supposed to know, you know? So that's kind of how I got started listening to Gerald and kind of the profound influence it had in me going back and doing my homework, so to speak.
Now, I also read that when you were in college in New York, that you were studying with George Garzon, the eminent saxophonist, and he spoke to you about your emulation of Chris Potter. And I was wondering if you could kind of tell that story.
Yeah, totally. I came in like as a green freshman and I suffered really hard for the first couple of years with big fish, small pond syndrome because I grew up in Illinois, you know, Normal, Illinois, not Chicago, not St. Louis, right in the middle of the state. So internally inside the school, I wasn't very high on the totem pole. And certainly when I stepped out of the school, it was New York City, you know. So I came in with a certain level of confidence in my playing because I had to. And I remember going to a lesson with George Garzon, and I played certain thing, and he goes, it sounds like you listened to one Chris Potter record and got the wrong idea. I was like, wow, that's brutal to say to an 18-year-old kid, but he was right, you know. And so specifically what it meant was like my overuse of articulation. And George's concept of how to articulate is very, very different than anything I'd ever, you know, previously been told, you know, which essentially don't articulate, you know, use all your diaphragm. And he went one step further and said, like, I use my fingers to articulate, which I never bought into completely. But having the chance to study with George as a freshman and sophomore was profound because I went to Manhattan School of Music to study with Bob Mincer. And I got there in August of 2008, and I got an email saying, you're in the studio of George Garzon. And I only ever heard him play like one solo on this Joe Lovano Nanette record. And I was like, man, I don't know who this is really. You know, that was my ignorance. And I was also kind of mad. I was like, I want to study with Bob Minzer. You know, so I moved. And it's funny because a couple years later at the Eau Claire Jazz Festival, right, which is kind of close to Minneapolis, Bob Minzer was the special guest and he came over and played an entire set with like the judges that have been adjudicating the festival. And I told him that story and he was like, well, sounds like it turned out okay. And I was like, oh man, that's the biggest, you know, whatever compliment I could get coming from like my childhood hero, you know. So but George was great for me. You know, like he opened up my ears to possibilities that I would have never, ever considered, especially at that time in my life. So I'm eternally grateful for the chance to work with him.
I'm Peter Solomon. You're listening to a conversation with saxophonist Adam Larson on Jazz 88.
What made you leave New York?
You know, have two kids and the price of living was just kind of getting to be crazy. And now I can't imagine having stayed there. You know, it's insane. Kansas City is in central in the country. You know, it makes my job when I do clinics and things a lot easier. I love driving. So, you know, since I moved here, I've put like 140,000 miles on my car in 5 years, which is nuts. And, you know, it's closer to my parents a little bit. They're still in Illinois, but I think for the idea to have because, you know, like we thought about, okay, maybe Chicago, you know, you can get a house there if you're like an hour or more outside of the city and you can get a school. But, you know, in Kansas City, you can get a good school district and a house, and the cost of living is crazy less expensive. So just a number of factors trying to next chapter of life, especially for the kiddos, you know, get them situated where it would be maybe the best fit for them.
I asked Adam to share some of his recent music with me so I could give you a sense of what he sounds like. He sent along three tracks, including a couple of originals and this cover of Thelonious Monk's We See.
Those are all from a record that I put out 2 years ago as a part of the first installment of a trio trilogy. The idea was With Love, From, and then a certain city. And these cities that I picked were cities that I've either spent like significant professional time in or lived in. So the first one was With Love from Chicago. And, you know, I played a lot more in Chicago once I moved to New York. And I would come back. And the first time I got a chance to headline the Jazz Showcase, it was with my mentor, one of my mentors, John Wojciechowski, incredible saxophone player, originally from Detroit, then Chicago. He's a stalwart there. And I said, who should I call? And he said, there's no who should you call. You're going to call Dana Hall on drums and Clark Summers on bass. And I was terrified because those are like, you know, the heaviest of the heaviest in Chicago. So over the last 10 years, I got to know those guys really well. You know, Clark Summers, in fact, Clark, he's the namesake of my second son, Clark. So he's his godfather, and we're very, very close. So I decided to do a record, With Love from Chicago, With Love from Kansas City, and With Love from New York. And it was this kind of trilogy, right? So the idea for the first one was just let's try to get as many originals as we can and maybe a few, you know, covers. So I think we did Portrait of Jenny on that record and We See, so I know I sent you that, and then eight originals as well, some from me and some from Clark.
Now, a pianoless trio like that with sax, bass, and drums is something I think is most associated with Sonny Rollins. Like, what made you decide to record without a harmony instrument, as it were?
Yeah, I had done five records previous to that with, you know, either guitar or piano or both. And so I wanted to explore something a little bit different. Also, just being totally honest, you know, the economical considerations of touring with anything more than a trio is really difficult, you know. So I thought, okay, if I can make a musical, which with those musicians that I installed, you know, enlisted, and I can also make it more feasible for us to all make some bread when we're out on the road, let's try that, you know. So it was a mixture of economic and musical considerations, but also, you know, like I said, I had done five records previous where a lot of the stuff that I did was with chordal accompaniment, you know. So just trying that out, and I've come to really like it. Now I've played majority of the gigs in the past 2 years have been trio, and honestly, now I'm kind of looking, after I do the thing with Abinette next week, I might this week I might decide to go back to chords. You know, it's been a long time coming. So, but I enjoy the challenge. You know, there's a tremendous amount of responsibility, right? Because you have to be able to delineate the harmony and the time and all that, independent of having somebody plunking it out over there. You know, so there's a lot of freedom in that, but there's also with the caveat of some prerequisites being taken care of. You know.
Thank you.
Do you have any big forthcoming projects that you want to mention?
I put out a duo record in February, just soprano saxophone and tenor. As a colleague of mine, we did a live concert at the school that he teaches at, which is Westchester University. We did a recital, didn't talk about anything beforehand. We went on stage, started playing, did 45 minutes of spontaneous improvisation with no interest or like inclination of releasing it. And then we listened back to it and like, let's put it out there. What the heck? So we did that in February, hoping to maybe tour that a little bit in the back half of 2025. There's a co-led quintet. One of the greatest joys about being in Kansas City is introducing Kansas City musicians to other friends, you know? So there's this kind of collaboratively led quintet with a colleague of mine named Chris Madsen, great tenor saxophonist in Chicago. And the rest of the band is Scott Hesse on guitar, Clark Summers on bass, and then John Kazillermoot, who's a drummer from my Kansas City trio. So we have a record that comes out in June, and we're going to be celebrating that at the Green Mill. And then I have another record that's trio with Clark Summers and John coming out in the fall. That group is called Hybrid Trio because each member represents one member from each of the record, the trio trilogy. You know, so Clark being from Chicago, John being from KC, and I'll take the New York distinction for that. So a lot of stuff in the hopper. I got a quartet record that I'm going to be putting together in about a month. So I'm a big fan, in case you can't tell, of having things to look forward to, you know, having things that keep you motivated internally and externally.
Is there anything you want to say in front of your upcoming gigs in Minneapolis?
I'm just looking forward to being back. You know, the only time that I played Jazz Central Studios was with Bob Bowman on bass and John Kazillermoot on drums. And that was on the heels of that Eau Claire Jazz Festival I was mentioning. So, you know, I've known Mac's son, Javier, for a long time. You know, Javier Santiago, incredible musician. So I'm looking forward to being back in that area. And I'm not really ever spending a whole lot of time other than maybe like 12 hours in Minneapolis. I'm looking forward to seeing what Avenette gets us into. I'm looking forward to playing with the great musicians. You know, I've heard a lot about both bassists that are going to be on each night. So I'm just looking forward to having a chance to make music and meet some new people. And yeah, I'm thankful for the opportunity to do this interview too.
I appreciate you talking to me. Adam Larson, tenor saxophonist from Kansas City these days, is going to be in town at Jazz Central Studios on Friday the 17th and Saturday the 18th. He'll be playing with drummer Avenette Brahanu, bassist Chris Bates one night, and bassist Ted Olson another night. You can find more information at Jazz Central's website. Thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time, Peter.